spinning top. Spin to win.
Hi, my dear listener. If you've had a great day at work, it was probably because your boss was away on a vacation. My dear embossed, boss-trodden listener, I am your once embossed host, Shefali. Here's a question. Take a moment to reflect upon your answer. And then with all respect and concentration, we will discuss the boss. The question is, when was it that your boss last irked you? Note that the question isn't whether your boss irks you, but when did she or he last made you imagine yourself as darkly dreaming Dexter, carefully but leisurely dismembering the monstrous image of the boss in your mind and savoring the so gratifying even though imaginary process of ridding the world of a particular menace. Don't be shy. Admit it. Your boss is probably engaged in a similarly delightful pursuit of imagination. And so is anyone who reports to you and calls you boss. Sounds insane? Even bossophobic? I assure you that it isn't. In fact, the Japanese who have perfected the art of creating management masterpieces, they also came up with the idea of placing dummies of all managers in a room where everyone could punch their secret monsters in secret and de-stress themselves. So none of us is being paranoid here. There's indeed something about bosses that sets them apart from everyone else. And even the sweetest and the kindest among us have at some point in time wrung our hands in despair and wondered how one made a voodoo doll. The boss you see was invented, or should I say discovered, to irk us. The boss, you would agree with me, is almost always less smart, less logical, less bright, but more heartless, more cruel, more selfish than we are. And the boss always takes the credit for our work. And for all this, the boss is paid a lot more than we are paid. And that really hurts. In fact, everything about the boss affair is very, very unfair. But then the boss is necessary for us to function. The boss is a necessary evil, if you'd like to put it that way. If we want to keep our jobs, we just can't do away with bosses. It's that typical catch-22 situation. And even to do our jobs, we need sanity and strength. The exact same thing that the boss drains us of. Reminds me of an image that everyone who's ever read Chandamama would recognize. The image of King Vikramaditya carrying Betal on his shoulder. The only way Vikramaditya can rid himself of Betal is by answering Betal's questions truthfully. And if he doesn't answer truthfully, he would die. So Vikramaditya always ends up answering truthfully. And so Betal's stories and Vikramaditya's task, they go on for perpetuity. The question that we should ask ourselves is how we can shrug the boss's Betal off our shoulders. And in true Vikram Betal spirit, I would like to warn myself. Shefali, if you don't answer this question correctly, despite knowing the answer, your head will explode into a million pieces. Theoretically, the answer is quite simple, really. But I agree that it might be difficult to execute. Imagine your work life as a role-playing game, something like Second Life. You are in a tightly controlled environment with your boss being a complex character that makes unanticipated moves and the ones that you must counter the best you can. That is the only way you can remain in the game and even win it. You see, the answer to the how to manage the boss question is know thine boss. Know your boss. Like everyone else, your boss too has a specific set of knowledge and skills and some behavioral traits. Behavioral traits are more complex to understand and manage than knowledge and skills, so we'll talk about them in a different podcast. One that we will conveniently label the Boss Monster Part 2. Today we'll speak about the boss's knowledge and skills. What did you say? What? Your boss has no knowledge or skills to speak of? My dear, it's a simple case of attribution bias. Since you don't like your boss, you see him or her in a negative light, reducing their positives and enhancing their negatives. Your boss is just like any other human being, and he or she has her own set of knowledge and skills. If you just knew what knowledge and skills your boss possesses, and doesn't possess, you could leverage that knowledge to start connecting positively. Remember that your boss's ego, quite like yours, is an attention-seeking pup, hankering for treats and belly rubs. Seek and you shall find. And once you have discovered what your boss knows and doesn't know, you can classify it as under. 1. Your boss has knowledge or a skill that you don't have. 2. Your boss has knowledge or a skill that you certainly have. 3. Your boss doesn't have a skill or knowledge that you have. And 4. Neither your boss nor you have a particular skill or knowledge. Now, everyone likes to boss around. And your boss being a boss definitely does. So, if your boss is skilled at something and you aren't, if he or she knows something that you don't, how about requesting guidance? There's a good chance that your boss is at Maslow's hierarchy level 4 or 5, esteem needs or self-actualization needs. And your request for guidance shall fulfill this need and make the boss feel like a sort of guiding angel. If you have a particular knowledge or skill and your boss has it too, try to find a moment or two with the boss to discuss your plan and seek approval. Two things would happen. 1. The boss's ego puppy would get the attention it seeks. 2. Your plan would benefit from the boss's experience and knowledge. So you see, you have a win-win situation in your hands. If there is a task that you can do well, and you know that your boss is terrible at it, even if it isn't yours to do, how about offering to do it? Or if there is a paucity of time, offer your expertise at least. You know that if the task were done well, the credit would be siphoned off to inflate the boss's ego. So please, if you decide to offer to do it, do not expect drum rolls in your honor. Follow Nike's path-breaking advice that applies to everything under the sun. And just do it. Finally, if you and your boss both suck at a particular task, but it must be done or else, don't snicker and wait for your boss to cry out in anguish. Suggest who can do it and offer to help find the person. If none of this is possible, at least don't snicker or grin with a secret delight when you see him or her. And don't say you don't do it. I know, we all do. Can you remember it all? I bet you can. After all, you are smarter than your boss, aren't you? Try it. And you know why it'll work? Because bosses are human too. They love the right kind of attention, and if they can help, they certainly do, because it helps their self-esteem. Also, since it's very lonely at the top, a friendly word, a person to bank on, someone who can be counted on, is always welcome. I've been both a boss's nightmare and another boss's delight. And honestly, quite like in any other relationship, sentiments are often reflected. So while your boss monster might not change into a boss angel overnight, this could actually help your boss sprout a couple of little wings that will grow with the right nourishment. You catch my drift, don't you? A word of caution, some bosses are outright evil, and I think all of us would find at least one incorrigible, unmanageable boss who would attempt to exploit us in some immoral or disrespectful manner. None of my recommendations apply to those drooling chauvinists. My dear embossed friend, get unbossed. I'll post the next Boss Monster episode soon. Don't miss it. Follow or subscribe to The Spinning Top on your favorite podcasting app. If you'd like to connect with me directly and send me your rants about your boss, please visit shefalianand.com. I'd love to include a few listener rants in the future episodes. No names to help you remain boss-proof, but you'll know that your bosses have been served. Thank you. Have a great day.